I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello. Before we start this episode of the MMA Fan Podcast, we need to tell you about our sponsor, Free Train. Free Train do these fantastic running vests for you to run in, hit the bag in, and they keep your phone close to your chest. No more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket when you run or at an awkward angle on your arm. You can keep it on your chest with easy access to your phone whenever you go training. And what can the people do, Stu, if they want to get a vest?
Simple. Head over to www.freetrain.com. Have a look. See what you like. And when you pop it in the basket, just before you check out, pop in the code MMA fan, save yourself 10%. I mean, don't ever let it be said we don't spoil you here on this podcast. www.freetrain.com. Go check them out.
Excellent stuff. Right, on with the show.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we've got another sponsor to tell you about. Feel Supreme. They're a nationally recognised brand who offer only the very highest quality of natural supplements. Their extensive range includes a range of medicinal mushrooms, nootropics, anti-aging products, gut support products, green powders, vitamins, and much more.
Yep, they've worked with fighters from all the top promotions, including UFC, Bellator, Brave, and Cage Warriors, with a solid reputation of providing results. So check them out on Instagram, which is at @feel_supreme. Or their website, www.feelsupreme.co.uk, and make sure you use the code MMAFAN for a cool 15% off your first order. Don't say we don't spoil you.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me is ever laughing. You've been doing the intros lately and I just stepped in. I didn't give you a chance. I stepped up. And the minute I said it, I thought, I'm not going to look at the screen. And I did. And there you are with your big smiley face laughing away at me. What's funny, mate? Come on.
It's because you were going to start. You did this big inhale of breath. And then I quickly asked you a question and you like mid-breath, like, oh, yeah, this. And then you went and took another really deep breath. I just found it amusing.
Blake Harrison, how are you?
I'm really good, mate. I'm really good. I think we should tell the people what's going on with these very special episodes. They are leading up to the fight night on September 4th, which was originally scheduled to be at UFC London. Unfortunately, due to COVID, that is not happening, and that fight card has been moved to Vegas. However, that card is absolutely stacked with the creme de la creme of UK MMA. We've got Darren Till headlining against Derek Brunson in a great fight in the middleweight division. Paul Craig is hopefully on that card against Alexander Gustafsson. Jack Shaw's fighting Said Nurmagomedov. We've got Tom Aspinall on the card, Molly McCann, and the debut of one Paddy the Baddie Pimblett, who is our guest for today's show.
Absolutely. We should warn you in advance, today's episode's a bit downbeat, lacking in charisma. There's not a lot of confidence that's going to come across in this chat. You're going to hear a very, very quiet and reserved fighter today. Of course you're not. You're getting Paddy the Baddie Pimblett, and it's always a joy. He's brimming with confidence, which is everything we want to hear, to see him step up and make that debut in the UFC. And one of the other things, yes, it's a shame that it's now stateside, but one of the things that the UFC have done is they've put it on UK time. So you haven't got to set the alarms for the early hours. You can watch it normal time in the UK, which is great. I mean, yeah, it's a shame. And I think, you know, we've spoke about it as well. I mean, we keep saying it's such a shame. It's still going to be incredible. And I think some of the many things that we've spoke about, me and you, and we probably touch upon in this episode, is the fact that there's some superstars in the making on this card, and it would have been nice to have heard the Raw as they walked out, you know, hometown.
Yeah, well, especially our guest today, especially Paddy Pimblett. You know, his UFC debut's been on the cards for many years now, and he's still very young as well. He's turned the UFC down a couple of times because I think he was just getting a better deal over at Cage Warriors, because they knew to keep him because he is such a big star. He is selling out the Echo Arena up in Liverpool and stuff like that. But finally, he's decided to go over there. He's a former featherweight Cage Warriors champion. He's fought lightweight as well. And his UFC debut is also, as we're going to find out, at lightweight. But we do discuss the decisions behind that move. And yeah, I mean, is there anything more to say about the London card before we crack on with Paddy the Baddy?
I don't think so. I think it's stacked. If you're a fan of MMA and you like watching your UK fighters, then it's possibly the most stacked card of UK fighters that's ever fought, you know, overseas, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like there's a sort of UK versus the world type element to the card. Yeah. And maybe if it was in the UK, there would have maybe even been one or two extra UK fighters on that card or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, hopefully the card stays intact, because, I mean, looking at it, it is absolutely fantastic. And for anyone out there that's interested in, you know, maybe even... Oh, Lerone Murphy's someone we haven't mentioned as well. Lerone Murphy's on that card as well, who is looking phenomenal against Charles Jourdain, who is a phenomenal fighter as well. But then outside of the UK fighters, you've got Magomed Ankalaev versus Volkan Oezdemir in the light heavyweight division. That is going to be an absolute banger. I think Ankalaev is potentially a future champion in that division. And then you've got down at flyweight, you've got Alex Perez, who fought Davison Figueiredo a while back, against Matt Schnell, who, you know, is a game fighter as well. So there's some really great fights on that card, even outside of the UK fights. But obviously the UK ones are what we're really interested in and what we want you to be really interested in, to support our homegrown fighters. So that's why we're doing a few of these episodes leading up to September 4th card, where we are chatting to some of those big UK names that are on that card. So I guess now all we want you to do is kick back, get your earphones in. They should already be in, really. But
they should be, otherwise we've just been talking to ourselves.
Yeah, maybe they've just left the phone on the side in the kitchen while they've gone for a poo and then they've come back. But yeah,
do podcasters generally talk like that in their intros? I don't think so.
Nah, probably not. Just degrading their own show by saying you couldn't even listen to this while you're having a poo. But that's what you get when you come to the MMA Fan Podcast. We're keeping it real for you, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, we give to you Paddy the Baddy Pimblett. Hey, Paddy, how's it going?
What's happening?
Where are you, mate? It's a lovely looking bed you've got there.
That's my bed, lad. She fucking puts all pillows and throws and that on it, lad. She's mad. If it was up to me, I wouldn't even make it.
Don't lie, Paddy. You know you've arranged those. You've arranged those beautifully for this show, haven't you?
He wishes, lad. He wishes.
Well, I mean, I bring up our show because you're an esteemed guest of this show now, Paddy. I don't know if you know this, and I know you've achieved a lot in your short career. But you are the first fighter that's been on our show as a re-emerging guest. The first time we've had someone on twice. So there you go. So, you know, Cage Warriors champion, UFC debutant coming up, and first fighter to reappear on the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm assuming that that's the top of your list, though, right?
Yeah, sure. That's up there with the debut, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I thought it would be, yeah. So, gosh, man, I mean, it seems like it's been a dramatic week for you, or a couple of weeks or whatever, because let's start with what happened on Instagram, mate. Where's your grammage gone?
I'm still waiting for it to get it back, lad. It's a joke. Absolute joke. Messing with me livelihood, lad. There's a few trolls. Know what I mean? It's ridiculous. The reason that me... Well, the last thing what I said to someone what's got me account shut down is I called a Man City fan from Bristol a glory hunter.
That's it?
Seriously, lad. Because he said to me, I've been supporting Man City for 7 years when they were shit. I went, lad, they won the league 9 years ago. What are you talking about? And he sort of changed it. Oh, no, I've been supporting them for 9 years. I was like, lad, go away. Support your local team. And I put him on my story. And I think he reported me for bullying and harassment. And I've had my thingy out of off. But I've spoke to Graham. As you know, Graham's the man. And Graham's getting it sorted for me. So I should have it back in the next 24 hours.
Well, yeah, because as you say, I mean, you've got your debut coming up. You need to be promoting this, promoting the fight. And also, you want to be, after, fingers crossed, a nice big win on September 4th, then you want to be getting all the extra followers. You want to be building your name out there as a fighter. So the social media aspect of things, it's important for fighters, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big sale for fighters, you know what I mean? Like sponsors and stuff. As I say, it's my business. It's my livelihood, my Instagram. Like, I earn money through doing posts. I earn money off sponsors. I earn stuff off sponsors. Even private sessions where I do one-to-ones with people, a lot of them are sorted on Instagram. So, like, for 10 days now, my livelihood's been ruined because of a certain number of trolls reporting stuff that I put up where I'm 9 times out of 10, it's in retaliation. Not even just that as well, sharing stuff for charities. Like, I'm constantly helping charities out and helping sick kids out, and I can't do that to my 155,000 followers and get these young kids help because Instagram have blocked my account for a few trolls.
Hopefully it gets done and back on track soon, mate, because as you say, I mean, obviously the charity stuff, very important, but also I didn't even think about like those one-to-one sessions where you're earning that little bit of extra cash and all of that. It's affecting you in that way, and I didn't even think of that as well. So fingers crossed that gets sorted. But the drama did continue because you've had a journalist, from what I can gather, put out that Vendramini was offered a new opponent, which if that were true, it would indicate that you were out of the fight. But then even, you know, the big wigs of the MMA journalist world, Ariel Helwani, was reaching out saying, I've also heard this, but I've reached out to Paddy. 100% he's fighting. The rumours aren't true. So can you talk us through your side of that and how that must have been when you probably opened your phone one day? I was like, what?
It was Tuesday night. I was in bed, literally. In bed, my bird was asleep next to me. I was like, yeah, sound, about to go to sleep. And I got a text off Nick Pete, a text off Ariel Helwani, and a text off Petey Carroll saying, I hope you're okay. I was like, hey, I'm sound, mate. What are you on about? Oh, have you not seen such and such's tweet? Some idiot had tweeted saying that I was out the fight because my opponent's manager said that he'd been offered a new opponent. But obviously it was not official. Like, he hadn't been sent a contract by the UFC and been told to sign it. I'd had the phone call that day saying I need to go to London on Monday morning because I'm getting my visa at the embassy. So what I think has happened, well, what I know has happened because Graham spoke to Sean Shelby, they've got onto my opponent and his manager and said, listen, will you accept the replacement fighter if Paddy doesn't get his visa?
Right.
And his manager has then went and told this journalist, oh no, Paddy's out the fight, when that wasn't the case. Like, they got told, if Paddy can't fight, will you take a replacement fighter? And they said, yeah. And them being idiots has went along like, oh yeah, Paddy's definitely out, when it weren't. And like, the most annoying thing was, on Tuesday, I got the phone call at 4 o'clock saying I need to be in the embassy on Monday. And then that got put out that night. So I had my embassy meeting when it got put out. So the fact that the journalist still hasn't deleted the tweet, I've been having murder over it for 2 days. Journalist still got the tweet up. Well, he's not even a journalist. He's just an idiot. He's not got a Twitter account. You know what I mean? But everyone's defending him. Like, oh, he must have been right at the time. He's never wrong. Well, he was wrong. And his backhanded apology means nothing to me. He put an apology up saying, if I've caused any harm or anything like that, then I'm sorry. Not just, I'm sorry. So he's not sorry. And he's an arrogant divvy. And he's proper done me head in. All he had to do was delete the tweet. People are still responding to that tweet now saying, oh, is he not fighting? He's just using me for clickbait.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, on a more sort of positive angle, Paddy, how's training going?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Boss lad, I feel absolutely brilliant. Got a good round in the cage this morning. I feel on top of the world, to be honest. Feel even better than I did last camp, lad. It sounds cliche, but I've had the best camp of my life so far. I genuinely have.
So, I mean, have you had to prepare in any specific way for Vendramini? Because from the little I've seen of him, he seems to like a grapple, but that, I would have thought, would suit you down to the ground.
I don't care where the fight goes, lad. I genuinely don't. Like, I think I'm a better striker, wrestler and grappler. So, wherever he wants to fight with me, I'll fight with him. But I want to knock him out. Like, I said 2 years last time, I want to show me striking off and... Yeah. I only got to show up for like 30 seconds and then obviously he tried to take me down, so I finished him on the floor. I can see the same happening in this fight, to be honest, me catching him with a punch or a kick, him trying to start a grapple with me and me just dominating the grappling. But as I say, I don't care where the fight goes, lad. No matter where the fight goes, I'll be dominating it.
Well, one of the things, you know, I guess if you're talking about where the fight's going to go, it's going to go to America, which is something that, you know, we was all hoping wasn't going to happen when we was all being told that on September the 4th it was going to be in London, and we, you know, we was looking at the card, and when we first found out that it wasn't going to be in London, it was being moved to the States, the first thing that I thought was just like, fuck, man, I wanted to see Paddy's walkout in London, man. Yeah.
Like, everyone did, lad. That's the worst thing about this, lad. Everyone wanted to see me walk out with fans, you know what I mean? At least there'll be like 150, 200 people there when I fight, but the only thing is, as I say, in that O2 arena, it would have went off. Yeah. It would have went absolutely banyans. It would have been next level, but, you know, I know for a fact after I beat Vendramini, the UFC are going to put me on a card with a crowd, 100%. They'll see me energy and they'll be like, yeah, we need to get this kid on a show with a crowd. More than likely be a pay-per-view because that's what's got crowds at the minute.
What was your first emotion when you found out that the card was moving to Vegas?
I was gutted.
Yeah.
Like, I was absolutely gutted. But now it's sunk in. It's not so bad, know what I mean? I've always said I'm not going to Las Vegas until I fight there. And it's happened.
Yeah.
So how does that have big implications on training camp, on the financials? Like, how much sort of does it impact on what you've kind of...
when you go to the UFC, everyone thinks everything's, oh, you're getting paid big money, you're this, you're that. But the UFC only pays for one cornerman. So luckily enough, Molly's fighting as well. So we get a cornerman paid for each. So we have to pay for a cornerman each. And luckily enough, because Molly's a woman, she gets two hotel rooms. Whereas it was just me fighting, we'd only get one hotel room and I'd have to pay for another one. So luckily enough, we have enough rooms to go around. We only have to pay for one person each to get one person each's plane ticket. So in that sense, it's lucky that there's two of us fighting and it's lucky that we've got a female.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is I went a little bit big time. I don't know if you know about this, Paddy, but I went a bit big time. I was over on the Fight Disciples podcast the other day, you know, just getting a bit big time with old Nick Pete, and I was chatting with him, and he said that he thought the card moving to Vegas, as gutted as he was about it for all the fans and a lot of the fighters, he said to me he thought that maybe it would be a good thing for you to have your debut in a more muted setting, to go over there to like the PI and stuff like that and see how it all works over there and see, you know, all the training and the lengths that everyone's going to over there and all that kind of stuff. And is that something that you think you might be able to pick up some positives from this experience going over to the States and preparing?
Definitely. I was with Nick yesterday. BT come in and done some filming with me, so I was with Nick yesterday. He said similar stuff to me, but the main thing for me is why I'm so happy if there is all the main UFC officials are going to be there and I'm going to have them all in a headlock. You know what I mean? They're all not going to know what hit them, lad, because when I turn up, lad, I turn up to take over, lad, and that's what I'm going to do. I'll be walking around the hotel with my speaker on and that, just like I own the gaff. And they'll be like, who's this kid? And I'll be like, what's happening? Putting them in headlocks and nuggying them.
I mean, you mentioned Molly earlier, and we're hoping to catch up with Molly and have a chat of her ahead of the fourth. Is it always good having Molly, like, not just in the gym, but like being on the same card?
Yeah, brilliant. Like, we fought on the same card a few times. I think when we've both fought on the same card, we've always won, to be honest.
That's a good omen.
Yeah, I think whenever we've fought on the same card, we've both always won. So, as I say, I can't wait. I literally cannot wait to get over there with my big sister and the team and absolutely kill it. Come home 2-0. Come home a global superstar. It's going to be funny.
Who's in
no
the room
one's
with
doubting you,
there?
Mate. No one's doubting you.
Who have you got with you there in the room?
It's me dog, lad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, lovely. What's the dog's name? God.
Lenny, lad. He's an half annoying at times. Chewing his little chew thing there, lad.
That's what the noise is, lad.
Yeah, that's what the noise is in the background. Him chewing his little chew thing. My bird's making tea, though, lad, and he was doing it. I didn't downstairs, so I thought, I'll just bring him up here with me.
That's perfect. He can join the show. So this fight's at lightweight. You were obviously a featherweight Cage Warriors champion. Were you ever tempted to go into the UFC at featherweight, or were you like, no, the cut's too much, I feel better at lightweight?
I was tempted to go down to featherweight, but I just don't even know if I'd make it anymore now.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, like, the cuts killed me in the past, and it's affected my performance in several fights. Mainly my last two ones against Julian Arosa and Adnan Armani. It really affected my fight. I cut 8.4 kilo and 7.7 kilo overnight and I felt disgusting, you know what I mean? Yeah. In the later rounds, I didn't have nothing in me to actually put it on my opponents, you know what I mean? I had to, especially against Julian Rosa, I had to just have to survive. So now I'm my weight boss. I've only got 5.5 kilos to lose in the next 2 weeks.
Perfect.
Which is easy. You know what I mean? It's nothing for me, that. But if I was fighting a featherweight, I'd have 9.5 kilos to lose.
Yeah.
So I've done 11 kilo Monday to Friday, but that was disgusting.
Yeah.
And I don't fancy doing it again. I probably could go down to featherweight, but I'm going to get a DEXA scan first. I still haven't had that DEXA scan. I need to get that done.
But what is a DEXA scan?
What's that?
It does your body composition. It tells you what your muscles weigh, what your bones weigh, what weight it is safe for you to go down to, like, without starting to hurt your body. And Because as I say, I had a DEXA scan when I fought Nad Amani. I'd done it after a weight cut as well. I'm the only other person in the world to have a DEXA scan, like, before I get on the scales. And he said to me, like, after I got told not to fight, he said, you should pull out of this fight after the weighed in. They were like, you've got no testosterone in your body at all, like, and you're 0.2 kilo of water weight loss away from kidney failure.
Oh, God.
Fucking hell.
Like, it was bad. But I still fought 5-5 the next night. And that's why I always say my main facet is my heart and my grit and my determination, because I'll never quit. I'll keep going forward. And so, yeah, like, making featherweights, it's one of them things I'll have to say. But that was 2017 as well, April 2017. But now in September 2021, that was 4.5 years ago. I've grew up a lot since then. I've put a lot of muscle mass on. I'm acting a lot more professional, and even now, when I'm acting a lot more professional, I woke up this morning 76.3. As I say, if I go down to featherweight, I'd have another 9.5 kilos to lose, not 5.5.
So this is one of the first fights. I imagine this is one of the first fights overseas with such a strong UK roster of fighters on it. With that in mind, a couple of questions. Is there like a sort of camaraderie between all the British fighters when you're all on the same card in anywhere overseas? And what other fights on that card are you looking forward to seeing?
Obviously, the fight I'm looking forward to, apart from man the most, is Molly.
Yeah. Sure.
Goes without saying, but I speak to Jack Shaw, to be honest. I speak to Jack Shaw quite a lot. Obviously, Till is from my city, so I'll always back Till. But mate, like, mainly Jack Shaw is the one I speak to the most out of the UK guys there.
Yeah.
I always have a chat with Jack and his dad, Richard. His dad's a great man, proper cool dude. I don't really speak to many of the others, to be honest. Me and Darren have a little chinwag every now and then, but like, I don't really speak to Aspinall. Who else is there? Dia Casey, I don't really speak to. We used to spar years ago, but I still support Mark, obviously. Yeah. He's a sound lad. I don't really know Lerone Murphy. Paul Craig, I've never really spoke to. Who else is there? Like, Darren Stewart, someone who I wish was on the card, because I get on very well with Darren.
Yeah. I mean,
Darren's a cool dude, lad.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show. We're wanting to get him on the show for a little while now, so hopefully we can make that work.
Darren's boss, lad. Darren's so cool, lad. He's a funny, funny man, lad.
So, I mean, I guess ultimately, how do you see the fight going?
I can't see him getting out the first, to be honest. I genuinely can't. Like, I don't see where he can trouble me. Unless he's got big, big heart, he's not getting out the first. Like, his last fight, his opponent was a kickboxer and he just jabbed his head off for two rounds and then give Vendramini his due. In the third round, he just ran at him, tried to knock him out. Obviously, to no avail, he lost the majority decision. But I'm not like that kickboxer. I won't just stay back and jab and stay at range. I'm going to come forward and I'm going to try and knock him out. So I can either say, lad, what are you doing?
Yes, Lenny.
Get down, man. I can see me either catching him with a big right hand and knocking him out, catching him with an egg kick and knocking him out, or knocking him out and TKO him, or hitting him with a shot and then him trying to engage with me and grapple with me. And either what had happened in the last fight, but I can genuinely see me flying triangle him.
Wow. Well, I mean, we'd look forward to that, mate. I mean, I almost feel silly asking this question, given the answer you just given, but is there any chance that nerves might play a part, big UFC debut? I didn't think so.
No chance, lad. I've fought in the Echo Arena, lad, in front of 10,000, 12,000 of my home fans, lad. I've been embarrassed in there, know what I mean? I've lost two world title fights in the Echo Arena in front of my own fans, fighting in Vegas in front of 150 people, lad. It's a piece of piss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Oh, I can't wait, Paddy. And as soon as you come back with that W, then you know we're gonna hassle you again and try and get you back on and tell us all about your experience in Vegas, man, and that debut, man.
I won't be this skinny, like. I'm gonna try my best, get utmost best, because now I'm in the UFC to not balloon up. You know what I mean? But when I get home on the Monday morning, and then Tuesday we land in Heathrow at like 8 o'clock Monday morning. And then I'm driving to Cornwall with my bird and the dog on the Tuesday morning. So I won't have too many desserts getting through at me by all Instagram pages in the city. So I shouldn't balloon up too much.
So you've got, like, after the fight, maybe 2 nights in Vegas?
No, just one.
Just a 1 night in Vegas?
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to party too hard or anything?
No, to be honest, I used to love partying, lad, but I'm not the biggest partier anymore, lad. I don't do it that much. When I go back to Vegas and the restrictions are lifted and stuff like that, and me missus and me family and that can come and some of me mates, that's when I'll go out and party in Vegas. But I'm just planning on going and eating loads of food.
Good man. Well, mate, thanks so much for coming on. It's been, as ever, a real pleasure to talk to you. And we're just going to be backing you on September 4th, and fingers crossed it all goes well, and we're looking forward to you getting that win and coming back.
It's gone, lads. I've put every bit of preparation in for this fight perfectly. I'm not going to have to do a big weight cut, which I don't know if he does or not. Know what I mean? He might do, but it doesn't matter, lad. It doesn't matter what he's done in preparation. You can't prepare for me, and I'm going to show everyone on September 4th that the new big MMA star is born. And I know for a fact my followers are going to double, triple. I'm going to be the next big thing. The new cash cow.
Mate, we are very much on that ride with you, man. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it, Paddy. Thanks loads, mate.
You're more than welcome, lad. I'll see you soon.
Cheers. And bye, Lenny.
There we go. Paddy the Baddy Pimblett. Never short of words.
No, absolutely not.
He didn't sound very confident, I didn't think.
Oh, you reckon? Bit nervous, old buddy. Oh, man. I knew it. The thing is, you know, you have these questions lined up and you're like, oh, it's your UFC debut. You know, anything that you could you be nervous? The most amount of people that have probably ever watched you. I know he's had his fans in the Liverpool Echo Arena and all that stuff. But, you know, in terms of a global television audience, this is the most eyeballs he would have ever had on him. And I knew as the question was coming out of my mouth, I was like, there's no point in me asking this question. It's foolish. Of course he's not nervous. He couldn't care less. Well, he could care less. He's just so confident in his own abilities and what's going to happen. And as I say, we're all along for the ride with him and hoping that he does incredibly well.
Absolutely. Great to hear the little sort of story about, obviously, Molly being part of that ride as well, and how, you know, how it worked financially in regards to, like, obviously they share corner, you know, camp together, yeah, and cornermen. So the thought that they can kind of work that, you know, with Molly doing one and Paddy doing one, I thought that was really cool, that, like, you know, they kind of worked it out, you know, at the gym and with your mate. I loved that. It was really cool.
Yeah, and as you say, you know, that it's... the financial implications of it moving to Vegas and stuff will affect people, and yet, as I say, they've got lucky because they can split the cost of their tournament. And obviously, the extra thing of female fighters getting an extra room because of difference in gender majority of the time between coaches and fighters is a great thing. And then that means that that's another less of an expense for Paddy as well, which is, you know, fortunate for them, given that, you know, I think they were all expecting just a quick bus ride or train ride down to London or whatever. So that's great.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, but obviously, you know, we had to mention at the beginning, as he said, he was inundated with it. Like, everybody wants to hear Where's Your Head At and see Paddy bouncing out to thousands of people. But I think, you know, if he delivers what he's saying, and I've got no reason to question that because the confidence is pouring out of him, gets a big stoppage there, and then on to the next one, and just the thought of seeing him walking out in the UFC to a big crowd, I think that's going to be quite a moment.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? As much as we all would have wanted it, you're right there, mate. It's something.
just drop me pen, sorry.
is that pen made of like titanium steel? That was an incredibly loud pen. But no, I mean, it would have been an amazing moment to have him walk out in London, but maybe, you know, positive thinking, glass half full type mentality, you can say that if he has one or two fights in the UFC before the UFC come over to London or somewhere else in the UK, then that fan following is only going to grow, and there'll be people out there in the UK that only watch the UFC. They don't watch Cage Warriors. And they will hear a little bit of Paddy the Baddie, but they don't know too much about him. And then they'll see him in the UFC, they'll become a fan, and then even more people will be cheering for him when they finally do get to London or Liverpool or Manchester or wherever. So, yeah. So, you know, silver lining, it might all work out really well, and he's got even more fans cheering for him.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed... I don't know if he seemed too confident in that. He just said, I'll come back a global star and probably double or treble my following, I think was his word.
As long as the Instagram is up and running by then.
Yes.
According to Paddy, you know, you cannot call people glory hunters anymore. So, which is a shame because my brother, who is a South Londoner, supports Liverpool, and I've been calling him a glory hunter his whole life. But now I apparently have to stop, according to Instagram. But, yeah. What a great guest he is.
Always. And we've obviously had a big chat with Paddy. Maybe we recorded that a couple of months ago. It was one of the first guests we had on this podcast. And he was super supportive and gave up his time. And we were, you know, these brand new podcasters on the block. We're still the new kids on the block, but we've got a couple of you know, UFC superstars, you know, under our belts now, which is amazing. And a lot of that is to thanks to you lot for supporting as well. But where I'm going with this is to say that there's a great chat with Paddy where we talk about his career, we talk about so much more stuff. It's a bit more of an in-depth interview than what we've done today. Today's obviously is all about the upcoming fight and his prep for that. But go and listen to the full-length interview that we recorded a couple of months back with Paddy. There's also one with Molly. Other people from that gym. We also spoke to...
From that gym, Matt Bonner, Cage Warriors middleweight champion, and Nathan Fletcher, young Cage Warriors up-and-comer who, you know, I think the ceiling is incredible. High for him, and then just across the way over at Team Cowbond, we've got Tom Aspinall as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, check those out.
We mentioned Jack Shaw. There's an episode with Jack coming soon on this one. There's also a full-length interview with Jack, which is great. Fellow Welsh fighters, Brett Johns as well, and Mason Jones. They're all in the back catalogue. And also one of the other fighters that Paddy mentioned, Paul Craig. I'd really recommend that episode. Paul's a really interesting dude, and we had a great chat with him not long after he returned after bending someone's arm the wrong way.
Yeah, that was nasty.
It really was. We're on all the social media outlets, so give us a like, love, share, retweet and all of that stuff. Drop us a message, let us know if there's a fighter out there you'd like us to chat to, and we'll reach out and see if we can make that happen as well. A nice big thank you to producer 76 for putting this together for us and making it sound nice and warm and shiny for your ears. And Is that it?
That's it. Yeah. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us like a, you know, a little rate and review, a little 5-star rating and all that stuff. Subscribe and catch us next time.